What is real beauty? Some Americans and people across the world are on a quest for beauty. Total beauty sales for January through March of 2012 were up 14% to, these are total global beauty sales, to $2,278,000,000. Makeup sales were $932 million, up 10%. Fragrance sales were $501 million, up 11%. Got some more statistics for you. Fragrances contributed 35% to the growth in premium health and beauty products market in 2011. Nail polish is still hot. Between 2008 and 2011, a time frame characterized by the recession, sales of nail polish soared by 43%. On average, women age 18 years and older spend $144 a year on beauty. MAC, it must be some brand, sells one lipstick and one eyeshadow every 2 seconds. So there's a lot, you know, there's a decent amount of money in the beauty industry. But what is real beauty? You find here that really it's those that are, you know, make more money that tend to spend the most money in the beauty industry. Well, in the Word of God, we find where real beauty is found. If you could take your Bibles, please, and turn to Psalm number 27. Maybe you can think about the question, why do people beautify themselves? Or why do people spend money on beauty products? Notice Psalm 27 and verse 4. It says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple." We find here in this verse that the essence of true beauty is found in the Lord. The psalmist says, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Do you believe tonight that true beauty is found in God? How many have ever heard the phrase, beauty is in the eye of the beholder? Anyone ever heard that phrase before? Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Well, in some ways, that can make beauty subjective based upon what this person's perception of beauty is. That's what beauty is. But we find that beauty really is not subjective, but it is something that is objective. And true beauty is found in God. It says here that he desired. He says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." Why? To behold the beauty of the Lord. The place that this beauty was found was in the house of God. Why? Because that was the where the presence of the Lord would be found. One thing I think that we can learn from this is that, you know, the local assembly of believers, in which the Bible states the Holy Spirit is present in the assembly of the believers, there should be a growing beauty of God, so to speak, that is reflected in that congregation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, we find that in a personal believer's life, that beauty of the Lord should grow. It says in verse number 18, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." No, a believer ought to grow in his Christ-likeness. A believer ought to grow, so to speak, in reflecting the Lord's image in his life. You know, as you grow older, you know, sometimes people can think of people getting older and they get maybe grumpy and gruff. And sometimes people can think that way. But, you know, as a believer grows older, that's not the perception that should take place. I was just reading, and I can't remember exactly what the man said, but it was a little bit about George Mueller. And this man did an interview of George Mueller when George Mueller was 90 years old. And if I remember correctly what I read, it was something to the effect that, you know, when he got in George Mueller's presence, there was just something, maybe didn't use the word special, but something about being in his presence. He was a man that had walked with God, that had lived by faith. And, you know, as we grow older, have we been in the presence of God, and is his beauty being reflected in our lives? It's the Spirit of God. It says the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory. It's progressive, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You know, sometimes in our flesh, well, all the time in our flesh is what? Our flesh is ugly. You know, you read Galatians chapter 5 as it shows what the flesh is all about and the works of the flesh. And you look at that and you think, boy, that's ugly. And have you ever gone maybe out on door-to-door soul winning and you can hear things happening maybe behind the door, or maybe it's another situation. It's just like, you know, it maybe just puts you on edge a little bit, and maybe you feel bad for some of the people that are inside those doors. Well, that's the work of the flesh. And, you know, beauty is when we are reflecting God's beauty, the character, so to speak, of God in our lives. True beauty, the essence of true beauty, is found in God. And as believers, his image ought to be reflected in our lives in a greater capacity as we grow older. You know, what's taking place in your life? And I'm skipping ahead of myself a little bit, but, you know, in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 26, chapter 16 and 24, it talks about pleasant words. And I believe it's the same word as is found here in Psalm number 27 that refers to the word beauty. You know, are our words reflecting that beauty of the Lord? You know, God is the essence of true beauty, and God understands what true beauty is all about. In 1 Peter chapter 3, it says in verse number 3, we find all this money, so to speak, spent worldwide on outward beauty products. But, you know, I wonder if there was a study done on how much women spent on inward beauty, what would be the facts and figures that would be spent on the same thing? You know, a Bible sold every 2 seconds. I'm sure there's a lot of Bibles sold in the world, but, you know, how much are people really interested in real beauty? It says in verse 3, "Who is adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, And that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, then notice what the phrase here, which is in the sight of God of great price. You know, this evening, who are we trying to impress? You know, all this beauty, all these beauty products that are sold, really, what are they all about? Are they spent, you know, is all this money spent worldwide because folks are really trying to impress the Lord? Well, no. They're trying to impress others. That's what it's all about. But here we find that this beauty is something that God highly values. It says, which is in the sight of God of great price. And we need to understand tonight that beauty is not what those in the world say is beautiful. Beauty is not what some company says is beautiful, although they're going to want to make you believe that, or what some fashion magazine says is beautiful. But beauty is what God says is beautiful. Value is what God says has great value. And beauty is ultimately found in who God is. Do you have the proper view of beauty tonight? Secondly, I'd like us to see the development of true beauty takes place through desire. How is this real beauty, how is it going to be developed in your life? Well, there has to be a desire. Notice what the psalmist says back in Psalm number 27. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord. And he says, that will I seek after. This is something, an inward desire that the psalmist had for the Lord to produce, for the Lord to grant him in his life. He says, that will I seek after. True beauty is developed through desire. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 1 says that through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. There's desire involved. There's a separation involved. You know, our desire can be stolen by what we see. Here, the psalmist said, David said here, he wanted to be in the house of the Lord to behold the beauty of the Lord. But over in a familiar psalm to many, Psalm number 73, what happened to this psalmist? He says, but as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps, Psalm 73 verse 2, but as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish. Notice what it says, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He had focused his eyes on the wrong object. And when did he get his thoughts refocused? Notice verse 16 and then verse 17 is where I'm going. It says, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. It says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. All right, so what did he do? He had to get into the presence of God. You know, why is it so important for us to walk with God? Why is it so important for us to gain God's perspective in this area? Well, if we don't, we're going to get way off track. And here this psalmist, he was fumbling. He was off kilter. He was off track because he had looked in the wrong direction. And he had to get back into the presence of God so that he could have the right and proper perspective and desires in his life. We can go back to Psalm number 27. Notice what it says in verse number 13 as we think of this desire that it takes for this true beauty to be manifested in our lives. And he says in verse 13, he says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Notice the faith that was involved. Unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You know, real beauty tonight is a desire that needs to be in our hearts, that can be stolen away by viewing the wrong things. But it must be something that we step out by faith and belief. You know, tonight, what are you looking at? You know, those fashion magazines, those things that are displaying the wrong beauty, that can steal away your perception of what real beauty is. And what you need to do is get into God's Word so that you can see the goodness, the beauty of God, and put your faith and trust in what He has said. In Psalm number 90 and verse 17, we find Psalm number 90, we find the prayer of Moses. Here there was a desire here of Moses. And he says, verse number 17, he says, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. Here in this verse, it almost seems as if the beauty of God is associated here with the blessing of God. He wanted the beauty. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Do you have that desire for God's beauty to be seen through your eyes tonight? Is that something you greatly desire, to know Him, to see the grandeur of the great God of heaven? We find that the display of true beauty is grounded in holiness. In Psalm number 96 in verse 9, also in Psalm number 29 in verse 2, we find two commands. And the word here for beauty is different. It's more of an ornament. And there's two commands. It's to worship the Lord in the what? In the beauty of holiness. How is true beauty displayed? Well, true beauty is displayed in holiness. We must worship God in holiness. What is going to add real luster, so to speak, to our worship of God? Well, it's holiness. Unfortunately, nowadays in our society, worship is all about how is it perceived in the eyes of those of the people. But real worship is about how is God viewing this worship. And real, true beauty is displayed in holiness. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 and 6 through 16, it says, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for what? For I am holy. And the real display of true beauty is grounded in holiness. If you could take and turn over to Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 26. Notice what it says here. It says, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. Even what a wicked man thinks, it's utterly detestable in God's sight. But it says, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. Something pleasant. You know, to look at something pleasant, to hear something pleasant, something that is beautiful. And the word pleasant there is the same word used back in Psalm number 27 and verse number 4 for beauty. So it says the words of the what? Of the pure are pleasant words. A display of beauty is what? It's grounded in holiness. Now, if your life is going to display real beauty, your life must be grounded in holiness. Your life must be grounded in purity. It says in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 17, we find that the way of wisdom, says verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Notice verse number 17. It says, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. There's real beauty found in the pathway of wisdom. But contrast that with the strange woman in Proverbs chapter 7. You know, it says, let not thine heart decline to her ways, go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. A great contrast to this, the display of wisdom and the pleasantness that is found in her paths. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24, it says, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. This beauty can be displayed. And you know what? Through our words. And what can it do? It can bring, it says, it brings health to the bones. It's sweet to the soul. Tonight, where is your definition of beauty? Or where is it found? And secondly, what is it? You know, have you gotten off in your perception of real beauty? It's so easy for us to get off track in the world in which we live, that everything is focused on the temporal and the outward, that we forget that the real essence of beauty is found in God and is reflected in a holy life. You know, are you concerned tonight about that inward beauty? Or have you spent more time focusing on the outward beauty that will pass away? How important is true beauty in your life tonight? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that we would have the right perspective on what is truly beautiful in your sight. And Lord, real beauty begins in a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and at salvation. And Lord, I pray tonight that those that are saved would desire, Lord, to behold your beauty. And Lord, that we would seek to be in your presence. And Lord, that even as the hymn writer wrote, Lord, that the things of this earth would grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace. Lord, may you help us in this temporal world in which we live to seek to display your eternal beauty. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.